In the center studio, as we always do at this time, we have, well, most of the time anyways, here's Cynthia Hauswinder. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you? And Dave, is it?
Good morning.
Nice to have you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you.
Which is good. And Cynthia and beat you in today.
I know. What's happening? The topsy-turvy world.
And you know, normally you come in real early.
Yeah. I had a bowl of peanut butter Cap'n Crunch. Slowed me down.
That'll do it. That'll do it. You, once you get started, you have to.
You gotta finish.
Now,
do
you?
It.
Now, do you drink
the milk?
Yeah. You gotta drink the milk at the end. I mean, that's one of the few times you do drink milk.
That's right.
Well, we will look at the front page of the paper, and we'll start off with the Falls Village Car Show. And I'm glad that you picked the picture of the 1947 Lincoln Continental, because every year when I go cover the car show, that is the car I look for. It's a local car. It's a car my father owned.
Are you kidding?
His pictures and my father was a big Lincoln guy.
Oh,
and he loved Lincoln convertibles.
Wow, it's a beauty.
And so now my father's was white with a black interior, but this color is if you see this car in person and you look at it, you're absolutely amazed. It's from 1947.
So I believe, is this the one that they had tricked up and called it the Mafia car?
This is just a standard. And it's restored. It's just a beautiful car.
Yeah, exquisite.
And so every year I'm there, I go walking around, I look for it, find it, and just look at it, and I'm amazed by it. But I'm amazed by all the cars. An amazing show.
It's an amazing show. So it started as a very small gathering in the center of town, organized by the Jacobs from
For their anniversary of their garage.
Right, and has grown into this thing. So there's a lot of vintage cars tooling around here all the time. And last weekend, people kept saying, I've seen so many cars this weekend, because there really were a ton of them. And, you know, we have, as you know, so the cruise is coming up in North Canaan tonight. There's one on the 21st that meets at the McDonald's in Falls Village. Those are popular too, but this one has just every year grows exponentially.
People forget it started with, I think, 135 cars, and this year they were just short of 800.
What? It's crazy, right? Yeah. And all of them are good.
And they come from as far away as Michigan, from as far south as the Carolinas. Is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and Patrick wrote the funniest long story. Because Patrick is generally pretty terse and had gone to this, and he just adores the Jacobs, who, of course, do all his service work. And he wrote me the longest story I think he's ever written.
And wait till you see next year, because the guy who does a classic car show...
The guy with the mustache?
Yeah, he was there filming segments. It's going to be a whole segment, and it's going to be on this winter. More people are going to see this, and more people are going to want to come to this car show.
Right? Right, yeah. It's like amazing. With Trade Secrets when they put it in Martha Stewart's magazine. And it's like, oh my gosh, we have a limited number of tickets. Come on. But this is a great thing for Falls Village, and there's no limit on the number of people that can come to this, and it's all good.
Yeah. All right. The other story, which is still got some clouds in the air, and that is the maternity unit's future at Sharon Hospital. Going to be what I think is going to be a very big gathering. We are supplying the PA system on the green in Sharon this coming Saturday.
Saturday at 11 o'clock. And this is a story that's changing so fast that we knew when we went to press that there would be changes, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So I believe that Bob Schnur met last night with Carrie Eaton, who is the new COO of HealthQuest. She had been on vacation during this whole brouhaha, which just underlines the fact of how poorly the timing was planned on this whole thing. So I'm hoping to speak with them in the next few days and just find out whether or not anything's been resolved or if things are still in flux. But I do want to stress to people, Sharon, and Dr. Schnur stresses this in this article, which is primarily an interview with him, the hospital's in great shape. We don't have to worry about saving the hospital. It's what we're really talking about is having truth and transparency from HealthQuest.
I think when I interviewed the people from Save Sharon Hospital, and I think what they're concerned that is if they allow HealthQuest to break a pledge in year one of their 3-year pledge,
right,
that other pledges will be broken in the future, and they just this is basically the line in the sand for
right.
them.
Yeah, that's because all. This is a big promise that's being broken. In their certificate of need application to the state when HealthQuest took over Sharon Hospital, they said, we're not closing anything for 3 years. It hasn't even been a year. And this is one of the big three pillars of that hospital.
Yeah. All right. We will move down below. The first girl joins the Cub Scout pack, 1027.
No, breaking boundaries in Winsett. And as Shaw points out in his article, this is a very young girl. She's 5 years old. It's not like she was waking up in the morning and saying, "Mom, I want to break a diversity barrier." But she is. She's a trendsetter. And to their credit, the parents don't seem like they're just putting her in there just to make a point. It seems like she just has older brothers and she loves being with the older brothers. And they were like, "Well, you can go to Cub Scouts now. It's legal. Do you want to go?" And she's like, "Yeah, I want to go." So very exciting. And, that's the way the boundary should be broken, because people genuinely want to do something, not because they're trying to make a point.
Oh, and by the way, Janet Manko is with us. She stealthily joined us about 5 minutes ago. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. And you have another intern. Holy smokes, a male intern.
Yes.
I'm almost beside myself.
No, we had a, don't forget that our first intern this year is Matt Holderman.
He
is also
Matt.
A man.
Yeah.
We've had, and in fact, Alexander Wilburn, our very talented editor, started with the Lakeville Journal as an intern in junior year of high school. So we do have lots and lots of young men. And in fact,
and
Arthur.
We have Will Birchfield, who's now an amazing sports journalist.
At CBS News in Detroit. We're very proud of him. And Asa Fitch, who went on to Money Magazine. So we do have a long history of young men interns. And if you're still out there, we still have Gabe Lefferts, beloved, yes. So we have young Quincy Cabot, and we have Arthur Potter starting next Tuesday. So Quincy Cabot has joined us. He's been with us for a week. We're having a fantastically fun time with him. He's a very quirky, interesting, smart kid, and really is bringing a lot to his articles. And you can see he's got a ton of writing and photography in this issue. And I didn't bring him with me today because I'm just running all over the world today, and I thought it was unfair to drag. I dragged him all around the world yesterday, and I'm dragging him all over the world tomorrow, so I thought I'd give him a break today. But he'll be in next week.
All right. And no intern, Bernie Drew, has a story about iron.
Yes, Bernie's the opposite of an intern. He's been with us for longer than I have. I think, Janet, has he been longer there longer than you, or is he?
Yeah, I'd say around 22 years he's been with us.
He's amazing.
He does so much else besides all that he does for us, and knows so much about local history, as you find out about here.
Yes, and he is a world expert, as we know, in W.E.B. Du Bois up in Great Barrington, and just the loveliest person, and designs our front page and always works really nicely with our interns. And so he's talking about the iron furnaces, which are such an important part, but ununderstood by so many people who come to this area. So he's sort of giving a little primer for people on what those stone structures are and which ones you can actually pop your head in and visit.
All right, as we move inside, it's a tiny little story, but it's something that people can help at, and that is the Habitat Sale, which really is a huge fundraiser and division awareness for Habitat for Humanity. They can use people's help. They need volunteers.
And, not to diss the help that they have, which is extraordinary, but many of the people who volunteer for the Habitat Sale are of an age, and they're moving furniture around, and it'd be great if young people would come out. There's lots of young people on vacation, and I think that young people largely benefit from this Habitat Sale, because when you interview people as they're coming out of the sale with large furniture, they're always saying, "My son or daughter is about to get his or her first apartment, or is going off to college, or has whatever." So much of the furniture that's sold, which is very high quality often, goes to young people's homes. So come on out and help move stuff around. They really need it. They need people going to people's houses with a pickup truck and loading dressers and chairs and sofas, and they'll be extremely grateful.
I always tell a funny story about Habitat for Humanity. In one of my divorces, I left the house. Listen to this. No try. I got a house, and I went to find furniture, and I went to Habitat, and there was my old kitchen set. And there was my old bedroom set.
And as a matter of fact, when we started the station, I was like, "Well, how's this table for the conference room?" And he's like, "No, that's my old kitchen table."
Oh gosh, that was a very, very funny thing. All right, tonight at Noble Horizons, they've got a music and a picnic, by the way. That starts right around 5:30.
That's right. You were just talking about that. And the Bitterman Center talk tonight on opioid substance abuse, which has been a very good series. And, of course, the Amenia Garden Tour is back after a hiatus. And more photos of the car show.
All right. Now, I love this story. I love this headline at A4. Concerns about electric plant, hospital birthing suites.
Not related.
No, Cornwall. It's Cornwall.
It's Cornwall. I know. Cornwall is such an interesting, funny town. So, yes, there they were. But actually, I have to say, all of our selectmen are discussing fascinating, yes. These two topics. So Cricket Valley Energy Plant, which we just did a very long three-part series explaining some of the basics of it, and actually based on some reader response, I think we're going to do a special article just on air quality, because they hired one of the top environmental, you know, air quality experts to be a representative for the town of Dover in setting up the conditions for this plant. And I think that people, you know, it's an electric plant. There's going to be emissions, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest in the 70s, so it's not going to be Gary, Indiana here. But we're going to try and get an interview with this, I think his name is Dr. Bruce Egan, to talk about really what people can expect.
And I think it's very smart of the Salisbury Selectmen to put off talking about the bears until September, because come October and November, the kind of bear threat kind of decreases a little bit.
I would say, yeah. So, but, you know, I think that often our selectmen take off August, so I think that that's really what this is about.
But the whole thing about bears in the center of town, the bears go, they're the bears that come down my road.
Yeah.
And they go down, and there's got to be a better way for these businesses to seal their garbage. And
yes.
Because that's the only reason they're going into the center of town. It's easy access to the garbage, the food garbage.
And specifically just a couple of businesses. And so I had actually grabbed Curtis in his office one day, and he said that's what's really going to have to be discussed. He said, you know, you go to places like even upstate New York or Colorado, they have these very intensively sealed garbage containers.
And Welsh has them. Welsh has them to lease out. They're more expensive than their own containers, but they have them.
And I think that part of the problem for Sweet William, which has been the business that's hit the most heavily, is they have their garbage in a very narrow little alleyway. So I think it's not easy to get in and out of there with a more intensive dumpster. But I think that it just becomes a question of moving their dumpster to the lockup.
Now, I look at your story on the theft at Visionary Computer, and I talked with them, and anything I could do. To break glass, I once was locked out of the station on right next to Pepperie, and there was safety glass on the door.
I used a
7-iron, and I couldn't break it.
Yeah.
A 7-iron. I couldn't break it. I mean, to get in like that is really amazing in this area.
Well, and actually the funny thing is when people break into Apple computer stores, obviously there's unbelievable surveillance footage. So actually David showed me and Quincy Cabot, who is becoming quickly our crime reporter, because we seem to spend a lot of time talking to police last week. But David showed us the surveillance film, and you could see they really, you know, this is a double-paned special safety glass that's designed for businesses. And they knew exactly what equipment to bring. They smashed it, and I'd say about five or six blows it still took them. And apparently people are watching, have seen the tape and have said that's where the glass breaks out instead of in. But that's, I guess, something about the way that it also shatters into
not shards, but little things.
Tiny chunks, yeah.
It
like
almost
a car.
Explodes right. when you break it. Right. It almost explodes.
Yeah. Right, like a car. So what David had said is he's in touch, of course, with other Apple dealers along the East Coast, and this is seems to be a band. It's not local people. Other businesses don't necessarily need to worry. It's people who seem to have a specific regimen set up where they have, you know, two guys or two women come in, break this window, very quickly find where the storeroom is, grab everything that's in a sealed box, and get out of there. They were in and out of there in under 2 minutes.
All right. And the Patco is open in the center of Lakeville.
I know.
It looks totally different now.
Such a big deal. It's fantastic. My social life just ended when Patco was in. I'm telling you.
Is it revived?
Well, I haven't gone back yet.
Well, it was bad enough when McDonald's closed, but then
McDonald's is very hard for me. Yeah, McDonald's is very hard for me. But the Patco, at least we knew, was coming back. And, you know, if you ever need a workman, that's where you go. You just think they're all there. They don't answer their phones, but just go, you know, if you need contractor work, just go to Patco. So business can once again be started. And, of course, we have the Green Cafe across the street, which is the different kind of food from Patco, but also very good. But that's becoming really a very vital center of Lakeville, and it's nice to see Lakeville really being the place to be again.
All right, and in Kent, we've got Korean food.
I was going there for lunch yesterday. I was so disappointed because their air conditioning broke down. I drove all the way down to Kent, which is like I might as well be going to Morocco, and it was closed. But the photos that Elise Atler took of this little meal that they whipped together to show her what they can do are phenomenal, and I couldn't wait to go, and I popped my head in the window. Looks very, very clean and nice in there, and I'm very excited to go. Namu.
All right, going on to the pig roast.
I wish I'd gone to that. That was on that super scorching hot weekend. The Northeast Building Supply, the lumber place down in Cornwall, across from Baird's, Old Baird's, I guess they call it the Cornwall Market. They had a big pig roast to celebrate their opening of their new lumberyard, which replaces the one that was burned in that fire several years ago. So it was quite a big deal. And I think everybody turned out, and it sounds like the food was phenomenal. And I regret that I let one of my reporters go. I should have gone.
And it's funny because you've got a story on Biff's food truck, and I just knew about that in advance because we have the Well on as an underwriter, and he's from the Well there, and the food that he serves out of the food truck is very, I haven't tasted it, but if it's like it was the Well, it's very good.
Well, speaking of pulled pork, so he makes the pulled pork in an electric smoker inside the truck. This is the funniest story. So Quincy Cabot, my intern, and I were heading toward the police station, as we seem to be doing constantly the last week, and we passed by what used to be Jim's Garage and is now called Old Soul, the vintage shop, which we profiled last week. And there's this big food truck out there that says Biff Daddy's Roadhouse, and so we stopped over, and Quincy interviewed him, and as you said, he used to be the owner chef at the Well, and his bartender and he are running this place, and he said, you know, it's just more fun, it's easier, and it's fewer hours, and they're cooking what Alexander Wilburn described as hot fast favorites, which is like sliders and quesadillas and just, you know, a quick bite as you drive by, and they're open 7 days a week.
All right, Av Kent, learning that fresh is always an option.
This is a nice thing where you have these kids at these summer camp programs. They did something similar in Sharon a couple years ago. Abigail LaFontaine, who is a college student, came back for the summer and is doing sort of a mini farm at Emory Park at Camp Kent. Her parents are the farmers Maria and Vince LaFontaine. And what she's doing is really trying to show the kids over the course of the summer, you can grow it, you can eat it.
All right, on the obituaries, the Alexander Senior obituary, but Ruth Belter and Robert Tobin.
Tobin was a big deal.
He's a longtime standard bearers of our area.
Here's another meal I missed. Bill Tobin cooking roast beef while smoking a cigar for the Kent Fire. I deeply regret that. It's always a reminder when you read the obits page. Just don't put off. There's amazing people here, and you need to get to know them while they're here.
All right, now picking a nutritional punch or packing, pardon me.
So we always say to our interns, you have to write a food story while you're here. What do you want to write about? And they always say, like, I hate food. I hate all fruits. I hate all vegetables. Like, and so often their column is, here's why I hate tomatoes. But so I said to Quincy, what do you want to write about? And he looked at me and he goes, kiwis. I was like, okay, go to it. So my daughter had found these yellow kiwis. And so he explains the difference between the yellow and the green kiwis and what a great summer fruit and a nice photo he took.
All right, and how to make a Euro nymph leader.
I know, and as Patrick says in the first sentence, it's not dirty, it's about fishing. Of course, because it's by Patrick. It's about some kind of special type of fishing thing that he does that people keep asking him about. So if you're interested in fly fishing, here's your chance to learn about Euro nymph leaders.
All right, and we're on to the editorial. Here you go, Janet. The page is yours, no easy answers at Sharon Hospital.
Right. you know, this... one wonders if the administration at Sharon Hospital and HealthQuest were thinking this would go off without a hitch, whether it had leaked out before their actual announcement or not, which would have shown an incredible lack of self-awareness of the position of the hospital and the birthing suites and the services that are there, how personally people here take it. And so I think they have found that out. We talk about that and, you know, what the issues are that surround this, however, which, you know, it's all interconnected. And there need to be, you know, we have to decide who we want to be in this region and stick to that and welcome young families if that's what we decide we want to be and make life easier here for them, not harder. But we talk about that in depth in the editorial.
You know, when I spoke to Peter Cordova the first time, I said all HealthQuest had to do was look back when Sharon Hospital was about to close and Essen took over, how the community galvanized to save the hospital and went to meetings in Hartford, not only here. And basically, the community, I think, were the ones that convinced the state to allow it to become the first private, nonprofit switch to a private hospital in the state of Connecticut. That should have indicated how strongly people feel about this hospital.
I still remember Meryl Streep on TV talking
about it. Right, and many people do. And I remember, you know, who was then our Attorney General Blumenthal coming up for big meetings at Hotchkiss and, you know, filling up auditoriums, filling up large spaces with people in this relatively underpopulated, smaller rural area. Yes, everybody came out. If the current administrators didn't have an awareness of that because they weren't around, they didn't see it. I think now they'll get that idea and hopefully take this seriously, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
All right. We have about 6 minutes left. There's lots of letters, and you've got, of course, on the great stories on the Viewpoint page as well. But the reason I mention that is there are two big sections to talk about in the paper, and we need the 6 minutes to do it. First, we'll start off with summertime. Who wants to handle that?
I'm going
to
let Janet do that, if that's okay.
You know, summertime, I'm disappointed Alexander Wilburn, the editor, isn't here because this was really his vision, and he is a young man who lives in this area and grew up in the vicinity and certainly spending weekends here, but has been full-time for some time, and just loves the area. And so we see it from a younger person's viewpoint, and he got a couple of supermodels to, you know, pose in clothes from a shop over in Sharon and in our local beautiful venues here. So, excuse me, don't miss those. And we have from Sharon Playhouse has a couple of 70s idols and TV star, a teen idol and a TV star coming to perform in plays there, and he interviews two of them who, you know, just fascinating. Rex Smith is one who, you know, I don't know who will remember, but once you see the photos Alexander pulled out from the 70s, I think anyone who was alive at that time will say, oh, yeah,
Pirates of Penzance.
That guy, yeah. And we have Allison Arngrim, who was in Little House on the Prairie. You'll see who. We have a photo of her holding up a photo of herself in that show. Looks very different now. They're both fascinating interviews. Don't miss them. He has the right cocktail to make. Spoke to a fellow who's a bartender up in Great Barrington and came up with a great suggestion. Ann Day, who's here with us, wrote a great story about listening to audiobooks. Really good recommendations. We have hair care. We have Dairy Diaries by Ashley Baldwin. We have How College Girls Overcome the Blues. This is by one of our interns this summer, and it's just a charming piece. Don't miss it. And more.
It was beautiful to watch the way that Alex coached Molly through the writing of that story. Alex actually works a lot with the interns, and because he's young, Molly, you know, was a very fairly quiet girl who a very good writer, but Alex really talked her through the sort of process, close enough to the age of having been in college, and it's a very moving little story.
All right. Now, onto the jam-packed compass. How did you get it all in, Ann?
Well, luckily, I didn't have to do railroad days, which takes up a good chunk of compass this week. But don't forget railroad days, July 18th through the 29th. So it's 10 days of fun. There's petting zoos and the caning
carts.
My favorite is the Canaan Carnival. When are the fireworks?
The last day.
The last Saturday.
Okay, I'm going to that. But we have our cover story is the Norfolk Chamber Music Festival, which is just this extraordinary thing. I was just saying, maybe I said it last week, but within 30 minutes of here in every direction, we have amazing music. We've got Music Mountain, we've got Norfolk Chamber Music, we've got Bard, we have all these amazing venues, Hotchkiss, and we have a story about the Norfolk Chamber Music Festival season, and this Saturday they're featuring Dawn Upshaw, famous singer. Then we have also a preview of the Hotchkiss Summer Portals, and those the tickets are still available. There's a incredibly good. I always feel rushed, Marshall, and I haven't really talked about.
Time.
You've got 2 minutes, two and a half minutes.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, I do want to discuss just off the subject quickly. I want to give money to Arjun Singh's GoFundMe for the car, but I'm not on Facebook. Is there a way that those of us who don't use Facebook can donate for Arjun's car?
I think you lost.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So we'll talk about that later. But everybody should just be aware that Arjun Singh needs a car.
It's up to about $750 now.
Okay, good. But he needs a car, and everybody should donate. So we have a fabulous story by Alexander Wilburn, which is an interview with Laurie Simmons, who, interestingly, was always a well-known artist when I was coming of age. And although she's probably not much older than I am, but now she's famous because she's the mother of Lena Dunham. But before that, she was famous in her own right. And she's speaking tomorrow night at Five Points Gallery in Torrington. She's also, her film, which she's directed, called My Art, is going to be screened by the Boondocks Film Society at Troutbeck on August 23rd. And Alexander, once again, has done the most perfect, beautiful, smart interview with somebody who's smart and interesting, but he pulls it out of her. Then we have a review of Macbeth, which is is at Shakespeare and Company through August 5th. It's a Macbeth which set sort of in the pre-Civil War America. And I got into kind of an editorial snit about, when is pre-Civil War America? Is it 1600 or is it 1855? And I guess I was being too picky because most people think of pre-Civil War America as the 1850s, when the country was divided, when there were ghost stories, when Herman Melville was writing and Moby Dick and so on and so forth. But this got a very good review from Leon Graham. Then we have Railroad Days, and then we also have, and I can't really talk about Railroad Days, so you should read it because it's a lot of pages.
Yeah, it's the entire schedule coming up. Make your plans, read through it.
There's so many great things. There's tag sale, there's flea markets, there's a lot of dog activities.
45 seconds, 45 seconds.
Okay, free nail clipping for your dog. And then we have a story about Ant-Man and the Wasp by the brilliant Bruce Paddock, who's written a review saying that the new movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, is better than the original. And then we have our calendar with all of the everything I could fit, all the news that's
fit to print.
That's fit. Okay, that's all I have to say.
There's so much more.
All right, the Lakeville,
get the paper.
The Lakeville Journal, also tricornernews.com, and also on Facebook. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com on the web.